game over. It's the Footy Wrap, football's round in review.
And the early markets for next weekend
with Adam White and Andrew Hughes.
Yes, welcome to the Footy Wrap. You're with Andrew Hughes, Adam White, along to look back at the stories, the ramifications of the round. How are you, Adam?
Yeah, not too bad. Thank you, Andrew. Got a bit of a cold, but overall not too bad. And it was a very interesting round of football. I think it was themed by a lot of teams that missed out on their opportunity to really consolidate themselves in a top two position, a top four position, or certainly a top eight position. So I think there'll be a few clubs, a few teams, a few coaches, players that will be kicking themselves today.
I think more outsiders won than favourites, and in fact all of the Sunday games went the way of the ruffia tab. Let's look at your winner group where you look back at sides and suggest their winners. The West Coast Eagles certainly won, although there was a big loss in Natanui. So mixed emotions, but a good win for them as they, well, stave off a few other sides trying to take their top two berth.
Yeah, this was, to me, clearly the biggest winner of the weekend. You're right, the Nick Natanui injury will have potentially long-term effects on the team, but to be able to win the way they did, a few things went against them, obviously, the Natanui situation in the first half, but also Collingwood started the game quite well, and the Eagles were able to absorb what Collingwood threw at them early and settle and go and win. And they didn't have Darling or Kennedy playing for quite a while. Lacroix, they all came back at the same time. That didn't worry them. They spread the MCG extremely well. They kept the ball off Collingwood, particularly in the second half. There was just so much to like about West Coast's win. And, you know, I know that Adam Simpson gets very prickly about the supposed MCG hoodoo, but the reality is the Eagles had to play well against a quality team at the MCG to prove that if they get to a final situation in September at the MCG, that they have the confidence that they can perform well. And they've now done that. So West Coast have now won four games in Melbourne this year. So I think that is significant. And if you look at their next five, they've got the Bulldogs at home, North Melbourne in Tassie, Fremantle, Port Adelaide away, and Melbourne at home. So it's a mixed draw, but North Melbourne, Port Adelaide, and Melbourne all sort of in finals calculations. This was a win that just keeps the pressure off them, as you said, Andrew, about particularly that top four situation, because they're second spot, 12 wins, 4 losses, but they're a game clear of third, and now they're 2 games clear of sixth. A significant win.
Well, certainly for the Giants, a significant win. They've got the draw factor in there, so I guess percentage not a factor, but what a scalp for them, and they are well and truly in the hunt for a final eight berth.
Yeah, we talked a lot about the Giants last week. Everyone's sort of saying that their season was on the line and it was the last chance saloon type game against Richmond. I never felt that that was the case because, you know, things can change on a weekly basis. The Giants having that narrow win on the weekend, all of a sudden they're inside the eight. And if you look at their draw where they've got a tough one this week against Port Adelaide, but then they've got St Kilda and Carlton after that. I think from a draw point of view and where they sit on the ladder at the moment, I'd be surprised if the Giants don't make the finals. But what they're doing at the moment is playing really well. They've won 5 of their last 6 games. They've now settled into a good rhythm at home where they've beaten Hawthorn and Richmond in consecutive home matches. Their ball movement is back. You know, Toby Green comes back in the team when we quickly remember how important he is. He kicked a couple of clutch goals. Brett Delidio played really well in the NEFL last week. They still think they'll get Tom Scully back soon. Jeremy Cameron's only a couple of weeks away as well from suspension. So while they've endured a really tough period because of unavailability and losing confidence through that middle phase of the year, they're definitely back. And I think if they could somehow jag a win against Port Adelaide on Sunday, I reckon it's a bit of a lookout type situation because I think there were a few teams on the weekend that aren't in the top six that arguably played the best football of the weekend. Adelaide's one of those teams and Giants are certainly another one of those teams. Top four teams from last year, flexing their muscles. It's just a question of whether it's too late from a qualification point of view of how high they can sort of find themselves on the ladder at the end of the home and away season.
Moving on to other sides in your winners category, the Swans, who have a knack. Well, they're a very good side regardless, but they have a knack of winning those games where we suddenly, not write them off, but against the odds.
Well, this was massive for them. And look, obviously they've won at the death and it was a highly entertaining game. But it was more the fact if they lost what was going to happen. They win. They find themselves in fourth spot, 11-5 with a percentage of 117, with Gold Coast coming up this week. But you just wonder whether injuries had reached a tipping point for them. They've gone and won that, obviously, without Jack Hannebery and McVay, but then Kennedy gets that back injury at the start of the second quarter. To be able to find a way to win away from home against a team playing for potential finals and find a way to come back in the last quarter when they weren't playing well and to find a way to win was exceptional. And I just wonder whether that saved their season. If they lost that, I reckon there's every chance they may have missed the finals completely. I think they're vulnerable inside the top four. I think they're the vulnerable team inside the top six as maybe the least quality, if that's such a term, of the top six. But they've got this culture where they never give up. And, you know, that they were very good in just finding a way to win. I don't think it was an impressive display, but they've got themselves to 11-5. You need 13 wins. They only need two more. They've got Gold Coast, as I mentioned, this week at home. After that, they've got Essendon, Collingwood, Melbourne and the Giants. It's not an easy run by any stretch of the imagination, but because they're playing a few teams around them, namely Collingwood, Melbourne and the Giants, they've kind of got destiny in their own hands.
And two sides for honourable mentions in your winners category, Essendon and the Adelaide Crows.
Well, I just wanted to mention it because I thought, and I don't want to look too far back to Thursday night, but Adelaide's performance, that was some of the highest quality football. Certainly Adelaide have played this year, but I reckon it's some of the best football that's been played this year. To be able to put on the sort of score that they did against Geelong, who's usually one of the strongest defences in the competition, I thought that was that was the Adelaide of last year, the way they played. Again, it's just a question of whether they've got too much to do to make the finals. I think there'd be a few teams sitting there currently inside the top eight a little bit worried about how Adelaide's going. They've got Brisbane away this week, the Crows. Then they've got Melbourne at home, Port Adelaide, the Giants and North Melbourne. So you look at that and you go, well, that's a tough run. But if they're going to make finals, they've got to beat those sort of teams around them and they can all become sort of 8-point games. So, look, if they play like they did on Thursday night, I still think that they can somehow find a way of finishing up inside the eight. Essendon, I think, has got too much work to do. But again, they've got Fremantle at home this week. Then they've got Sydney at home, Hawthorn, St Kilda and Richmond. So, really, they need to win four of their next five games and then probably win the last one as well. I'm not quite sure they're that good to be able to do that, but at the end of the day, they have won six of their last eight games.
It's RSN 927's Footy Wrap.
You're with Andrew Q's Adam White as Adam looks back at the weekend's football with his winners and losers. He's just run through the sides where their winning results were big in terms of what it means overall. Let's look at some sides that lost in terms of big ramifications. Hawthorn has always had this so-called nice draw, this run of matches they should win. Sadly, they're not taking advantage of that, and that loss on the weekend to Brisbane, that could be damning, Adam. They're one of your losers this morning.
Yeah, a huge unforced error from Hawthorn to lose that, particularly considering they were 18 points up early in the second half and looked to be cruising. To give up 10 of the last 12 goals shows that I think there's just something lacking from Hawthorn. And I think at the end of the day, they probably just are not quite good enough. I think they're in that mix between sort of 6 and 12, and they're not much better than that. They have these good patches where they had that really good second half against the Bulldogs, a really good third quarter against Adelaide. But again, we're referencing those sort of performances against teams that are currently outside the top eight. And if you get beaten by Brisbane twice during the course of the year, I'm not sure whether you really are a contender. I think they're a bit short in the midfield. And while their draw still looks okay, they've got Carlton this week, then they've got Fremantle away, which will be difficult, and then Essendon and Geelong after that. I just think that even if they were to make the eight, they're making up the numbers. I don't think they're anything better than just an average team.
North Melbourne a loser in terms of that game on Sunday. They turned it around in the third quarter. No Kennedy for Sydney. And really, they should have gone on with it, shouldn't they? And now we speak this morning, all the doomsayers that said, yeah, they'll fall out eventually, it might prove correct.
Well, I think this was the one that would have meant they'd played finals. Because if you look at their draw, they've got Collingwood this week, and then they've got West Coast down in Tassie, down in Hobart. Then they've got Brisbane, the Western Bulldogs, Adelaide and St Kilda. So I'd give them a minimum of three wins. Now, three wins gives them 12. Had they beaten Sydney, you know, that's 13, and that's probably enough to get you in. So, you know, if they'd won that game yesterday, equal sixth, they don't, they're ninth, 9-7, and they're back in that sort of pack, and the pressure's really on. I just think it was a really big missed opportunity considering the players that Sydney had out and then the injury to Kennedy. They were vulnerable, and North Melbourne couldn't capitalise, particularly with Geelong and Hawthorn losing. That was a great opportunity to separate themselves between a few teams, and they couldn't quite do it.
Another loser, the Port Adelaide side, even though it was on the road, a game that, well, they probably make the eight, but they can't be dropping those games if they're looking for top four.
I look at it a little bit differently. I still think Port Adelaide will make the eight. This was a team that, to me, you win that game. You go over there and you win it, and you win it well, and you really make sure that you're finishing top two and getting two home finals with a double chance. They've missed that. Again, it's that missed opportunity that's a bit of a theme for the round. They were just really poor, and even when they came at Fremantle late, the amount of inside 50s they had, it was a little bit like what happened against St Kilda the week before, that they just mucked it up so often going inside 50. The intent was there, but the method just wasn't quite, and there just seems to be something missing from Port Adelaide at times when they're really under pressure. I thought they'd been able to turn it around with some of the wins they've had through the year, that middle phase, you know, wins against Richmond and Adelaide and even Melbourne. But they were all at home. They've got to find a way to play their best footy away from home, and I'm still just doubting that. So that's why it was such a bad loss to potentially give up home field advantage come the final series. Robbie Gray, that didn't help, obviously, with Robbie Gray and Patrick Ryder getting injured in the first half. That made it a lot more difficult for them, but Port Adelaide still should be beating Fremantle. Doesn't matter where the game's being played. So that could hurt them now. I mean, they would have been second. They're now fifth, 11-5. The Giants, the Bulldogs in Ballarat, Adelaide, West Coast and Collingwood away to come. It's not the easiest of runs, is it?
Well, Collingwood have had a nice run themselves. They have a loss, and you put them in the loser category today. You think that loss was massive.
Yeah, that again, missed opportunity to have Nui go down early in the game, to get the good start, and I wouldn't say that they gave up meekly in the second half, but they really let West Coast get away, and I think actually the Eagles should have won by a lot more. They missed a lot of opportunities. 11-5, look, you can't be harsh on Collingwood because they'd won seven games in a row. But having seen the way they played yesterday against a quality opposition, and you look at their next three games, North Melbourne, Richmond and Sydney, that game against Sydney is away. They've then got Brisbane at home and then Port Adelaide after that. It's an interesting run for Collingwood. I'd like to see them one more before I sort of, you know, work out where they're at. And look, like a lot of teams, it's very hard to know where they're at, but I didn't like what I saw from Collingwood in the second half. But again, they're entitled to putting in a bad one, having won seven in a row. But the questions are going to be there about Collingwood against quality opposition.
Well, there are your winners and your losers as we just wrap it up briefly for a moment. Richmond 275, so no real change. Just I won't say a loss they had to have, but a hiccup. And
well, yeah, I mean,
$7, West Coast 750, Melbourne back in favour again in the $9 range.
Look, it really, I was thinking about this, Andrew, over the weekend. I've got no idea who's going to win the premiership. And I think that's great for the competition. And you try and you look at that and you think, okay, well, where's the value to be had? But every time you think a team's going to be a genuine premiership contender, they throw in a bad one. So, you know, I think Richmond deserves to be the overwhelming favourite because they are the defending champions and you know that they're able to get it done last year. And because of what happened with Port Adelaide losing, Collingwood losing, the fact that Richmond lost didn't really have a massive impact on their position on the ladder. Finding the challenger for Richmond, I think, is really difficult. You know, I can almost put a line through Sydney. West Coast is an interesting one without Nat Nui. We're going to have to see what happens with the Eagles. I don't think Collingwood's good enough. You know, Geelong's too inconsistent. Port Adelaide's thrown in the bad one. You kind of look at Melbourne and think, you know, maybe they're the ones at $9. But again, Melbourne, a bit like Collingwood, they've still got to do it consistently against good teams. It's wide open, Andrew. I really believe it's wide open, and I couldn't tell you who's going to win the premiership.
Well, you'll give us your thoughts over the week, though, of course, on the Breakfast Club and the Footy Late Mail. We'll look forward to hearing that over the weekend.
Yeah, it'll sort itself out because there's going to be these sort of qualification matches to come that's going to sort things out. So I think we'll know before the finals starts, but it's just a question of these games coming up like this week, Melbourne versus Geelong. I mean, that's a massive game for both clubs. That's just an example that we're, you know, Collingwood and North Melbourne, we're going to get them every week now for the last 6 weeks of the season.
Thanks for your time, Adam.
Thanks, Andrew.
You can hear the Footy Wrap again on iTunes, on Facebook, and on the podcast page at rsn.net.au.